This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a wonderful day to be in worship together, whether you are joining us online or here in the sanctuary. It's my privilege to welcome you to this hour of worship together. I've had a chance to meet some folks who are visiting with us from out of town, and I'm so glad that you're here. Others who might be joining us from out of town here for the Pride Festival or here visiting family, we are so glad to welcome you into our midst this morning and hope that you feel the Spirit of Christ moving among us today. If you are visiting with us and perhaps looking for a place to call your church home, I would invite you to, as we sign in on the registration pads this morning, share an email address or a mailing address and allow us to reach out to you and begin that conversation. The registration pads are at the end of each row, so if you're here in the sanctuary, we invite you to sign in. If you're online, there should be a link in the chat that you can click on to sign in that way. We have a few announcements as we gather this morning, a couple of exciting things happening in the days ahead. This afternoon, if you are planning to go to the Pride Festival, we have a booth there, and I'll be there at 3 o'clock to serve communion, and we'll be sharing that booth with other United Methodist churches in our area, and we hope that you'll come by and celebrate the proclamation of God's unconditional love in that place. We have in Reed Hall this morning a card for our preschool teachers that we would invite you to take a moment and sign. Our preschool is a very important ministry here in this congregation, has been for many, many years. Our preschool teachers have worked really hard over the past couple of years, especially in the time of pandemic, to keep that ministry going, to keep their spirits up. And we want to take a moment as a congregation to say thank you, we love you, we're praying for you. So there's a card in Reed Hall. Would love for you to sign that this morning. Vacation Bible School starts tomorrow. We're doing it in the evenings this year, giving that a try. We got lots of volunteers and children signed up, and we just ask for your prayers as we begin that wonderful event together starting tomorrow. Next Sunday, July 3rd, because it is a holiday weekend when many people travel, we will only have one worship service. It will be at 10 o'clock with no Sunday school. But after the 10 o'clock worship service, we'll have lemonade on the lawn, which is an old tradition of this congregation that we want to bring back and have some fellowship time together after church next Sunday. Also wanted to give you something to put on your calendars on Tuesday, July 26th. We're inviting the whole congregation to go to the Sounds game together. And if you'd like to do that, you can get your tickets on the church website, and it'll be fun for all ages. We come into this time of worship, and this Sunday we're beginning a journey through the middle of Luke's gospel that invites us to follow Jesus and experience his ministry all along the way as he makes his way to Jerusalem. As we begin that journey together, we bring all sorts of things with us into this hour of worship. We have the joy of celebrating a baptism. We bring with us the grief of a loss of our beloved church member and choir member, Ruby Fowinkle. Many of us are carrying concern and weight around the Supreme Court's decision this week, and we're all carrying that together, whatever our perspectives are. And what's going on in our world is also with us in the sanctuary. But above all things, God is with us, and we are called to follow Christ in whatever ways and wherever Christ leads us. So in this time of worship, let us open our hearts and minds to the presence of the living Christ and to follow where he leads.
God has called us to a gracious way of living. Let us set aside our fear and doubt. This is a day of new beginnings. Let us come now before God with our confessions, with the assurance that who we are, that what we carry, are held within the God of perfect love, who knows us intimately, who cares for us deeply, and whose compassion and mercy have no end. Merciful God, we confess that we recognize the shortcomings of others far easier than we perceive our own. We see others turning away from you, and anger is stirred within us. We witness injustice at the hands of others and seek their revenge and punishment. Forgive us for wanting to repay hate with hate and violence with violence. Help us to recognize the power of restraint and accept the challenge of your call to proclaim the good news. May we place you first in our lives and follow wherever you may lead. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. And now hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. If you're worshiping with us online, you may do that in the chat or with people that you are around this morning. And those of you in the sanctuary may share these signs in whatever way is most comfortable for you. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Donnie and Kayla Counts bring their son to God before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Donnie and Kayla, it's my honor to ask you on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Put your whole trust in his grace and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people. If so, say, I do. And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will. And my friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness, that he may grow in service with others. We will pray for him to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. And what name have you given your son?
Sebastian James Counts.
Sebastian James Counts. I baptize you in the name of God, the Father, your Creator, Christ, the Son, your Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, your Advocate and Comforter. Amen. Okay, Tristan, we're going to need your help for this part, too. We're all going to place the hand on your baby brother. If you'd like to, we're going to pray together. You want to put your hand right there? Let's pray together. May the Holy Spirit work within you, Sebastian James, that through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. Now I'm going to invite all of you together to go right there to the center. Because next comes a really important part where everybody in this church family makes promises to you to help you raise your little brother and raise your son in the faith.
Will the congregation please rise in body or spirit and face Sebastian James? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Sebastian James to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Sebastian James, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. The lesson from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 51 through 62. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set towards Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went to another village. As they were going on along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury the dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
invite the grown-ups to be seated and any children who want to come and join me up front. And if you're worshiping online, just move a little closer to your screens. We'll wave. Come on up. Yeah, you're good. Welcome, welcome, Penelope. Glad to see all of you. Come and have a seat. There's a game I used to play with my brother and sisters, and sometimes we'd play at birthday parties and things, called Follow the Leader. Have any of you ever played Follow the Leader? Yeah, have you played Follow the Leader? Yeah, it was always fun. There was someone who'd be the leader, and they might, you know, stand up, and everybody has to line up behind them. You don't have to do this right now, but, and they'd like walk around this table, and then everybody would walk around the table, and then maybe they'd go like this, and everybody would have to spin. Maybe the leader would make a funny face, and everybody would have to make the same face. So the whole idea was that you imitate the leader. You do what the leader does. Well, this morning in our Bible story, Jesus says to people who are listening to him, follow me. And all of us are here because we want to be followers of Jesus. And that means we want to do what Jesus did. We want to imitate Jesus and love the way he loved and welcome people the way he welcomed people and try and do kind things like he did, to always tell the truth as he did. And he is our leader, and we are to follow him. And so we do our best together to do all the kinds of things that Jesus did. Let's pray together. Gracious God, thank you so much for sending Jesus to show us how to live and how to love. Help us every day to try and imitate him, to be kind, to be loving, to be generous, to forgive people when they hurt our feelings, to tell the truth, to do all the things that Jesus teaches us to do. Thank you for loving us and showing us how. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you all so much for listening. If you're 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Maggie and Pastor Brandon. Awesome. Well, you can go with Pastor Maggie and Pastor Brandon to Children's Church. We are in a season of travel for many of you. I know that this is a time when lots of folks take vacations. My family and I just returned from the beach. I've had several of you commenting on my glow. More sun than I meant to get. I do wear a hat and sunscreen, but it still happens. We spent 10 hours in the car on Friday and finally arrived home, did laundry, got ready for church, and here we are this morning as a congregation ready to take a trip together. This morning we are beginning a journey with Jesus. In the 9th chapter of Luke's gospel, he turns his face to Jerusalem. Now, before this, he had been spending time in the Galilee, in ministry, teaching and preaching and healing. But in verse 51 of chapter 9, he turns to Jerusalem and gets ready to make that journey. And we know what waits for him in Jerusalem: a confrontation with the authorities and the cross. But it takes him most of the rest of Luke's gospel to get there. And so, for the next several months, from now until the end of October, we're going to be following Jesus on this journey to Jerusalem. We'll take a little break in August, spend some time in Hebrews. But other than that, we will be in the middle part of Luke's gospel, starting with chapter 9. And I would invite you to take on a little summer reading, to read the gospel of Luke this summer. Maybe read it again and again, or read along with whatever text we're going to be hearing on Sunday morning. And let's immerse ourselves in this journey together. We will hear the teachings of Jesus. We'll witness encounters that he has with people and people that he heals, people that he confronts. We'll hear some of his wonderful stories and parables. And with each of these, we will be asking ourselves, how do I live into this? How do I follow Jesus in my own life in our life together as a congregation, in this world that we live in, as it is today. So the journey begins this morning. Now, if Jesus were living in the 21st century, if he turned his face to Jerusalem, he might pull out Google Maps and to see what's the quickest way to get to Jerusalem. The Google Maps would have shown him that the quickest way from where he was to go through Samaria. Now, you may know that the Jews and the Samaritans did not get along with each other. Many of them considered the other enemies. Even though they were closely related by ancestors in many ways, they had some theological differences. Can you imagine that? And those theological differences made them not like each other and prefer to be separate from one another. Nevertheless, Jesus is here heading off on this journey, and he chooses to go in and among the Samaritans. We will see him in a couple of weeks in one of his parables use a Samaritan as the hero. Already we see an example of Jesus reaching across the aisle, reaching across to the other in relationship. But in this case, he's not welcomed. He sends a couple of people to this village in Samaria to prepare the way, and the Samaritans in that village say, "No, we're not letting you pass through." They reject him. They reject him because of who he is and because of his mission. They reject him because he is a Jew, and they reject him because he's going to Jerusalem. Now, James and John are all mad about this, and they go to Jesus and they say, "Can we rain down fire upon this village and destroy them, please?" And Jesus rebukes them. Don't you wish you knew what Jesus said? How did he rebuke them? We don't know, but he basically says, "No, no, no." Now, before we judge James and John too quickly for their condemnation of this village, there's a precedent for that. The prophet Elijah called down fire on some of his enemies. So it's part of their history and the scriptures in the Old Testament. And let's face it, maybe you can identify with them as I do. When we are rejected by people because of who we are, or we have people who disagree with the sense of what our mission is, I'd like to turn around and set them straight. I don't want to call fire down upon them, but I at least want to try and change their minds. I want to convince them that they're wrong and I'm right. There's a temptation to expend a lot of energy on that. And Jesus says, don't do that. In the next chapter, we'll see him say, if someone refuses to hear you, if someone rejects you, just shake the dust off your feet and keep moving because you have a mission. Follow me and don't look back. Now, Jesus assures me by the way that he uses the Samaritan in the parable that we're hearing, by the way that he interacts with them in other stories, that he doesn't give up on the Samaritans. In the same way, God doesn't give up on the people that we might disagree with, nor does God give up on us. If we need to move forward and continue in our mission, God is still doing God's work in us and whoever we're leaving behind. God's work is not finished. But I think it's an important word for me and maybe for some of you to know that we don't need to turn around and waste our energy if we are rejected. Because, according to Jesus, rejection's going to happen. If we are following Jesus and following our mission, there are going to be those who aren't on board. But Jesus says, keep moving. Stay on the journey. The next thing that happens in the story is a man comes running up to Jesus and says, "I will follow you wherever you go." And that's who I want to be in this story. I want to say to Jesus, "I'll follow you wherever you take me." And you would think Jesus in this moment would say, "Great, I'm so glad to have your full commitment. Let's go." But that's not quite what Jesus does. It's almost as if he's trying to talk the guy out of following him. He wants him to know on the front end, there's a cost. This is not going to be easy. For he says to the man, "Foxes have holes and birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Is Jesus saying, perhaps, that going on this journey with him will not lead to our comfort? There's no promise that we will be comfortable. In fact, there's never a promise that we will finally arrive, that we'll get to a place of safety, of certainty, where we can stop and be done, that the work we're called to do will one day be finished and we can retire and be done. Jesus seems to be saying that this journey he's on keeps him moving from place to place. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't rest. That doesn't mean there's not room in our lives for rest. Of all of the Gospels, Luke emphasizes the most how often Jesus pulls back, withdraws to be by himself, to commune with God, to pray and to rest. He goes out in ministry and he withdraws. And we need the same kind of rhythm in our lives. We even see Jesus in one story with his head on a cushion, sound asleep. But you know where he is in that story. He's on a boat that's being rocked by a storm, traveling from one village to the next. And his disciples are freaking out, and Jesus is asleep, showing us that there are ways to find deep rest, even in the midst of the journey. But when he says to this man, "Foxes have holes and birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head," he's saying to us, this journey with me is not about finding a comfortable place where you can stop. You will always be stretched. You will always be learning and unlearning. There will always be more growth that needs to happen. You can never think that you've got it all figured out, because the world around us changes, the context changes, the gospel never changes. But in order to live in that space, we've got to stay open and moving and growing. And sometimes when we are the most uncomfortable, that's the strongest sign that the Spirit is at work. So follow Jesus and be uncomfortable. The final movement of the story, Jesus himself actually turns to some people and invites them directly, "Follow me." And they both do the same thing. "Yes, but." "Yes, I'll be right with you. I just got to do this other thing. Yes, but." And Jesus says to them, when it comes to following me, when it comes to living out the gospel, there is no yes, but. There is nothing else that comes before following Jesus. The troubling piece about this part of the story for many of us is that the examples that people give for not following Jesus are pretty good reasons. "But I need to go bury my father. But I need to go say goodbye to my family." And this has often caused me and others to wrestle with, is Jesus putting family up against ministry and following him? Does following Jesus mean we have to let go of our responsibilities to care for our families and for others? And as I've wrestled with this in my own life and in conversation with others, as I've come to understand more and more deeply on this journey the heart of Christ, I believe it's really just a matter of where our priorities are. I don't think Jesus would ever call any of us to abandon our children, abandon our families, abandon our responsibilities to others, but instead to see all of those things through the lens of him. That in all things, Christ comes first. The gospel comes first. That it's not about success or safety and security or respect and well-being. It's about following Jesus. And we can do that no matter what season of life we're in. Over my years of ministry, I've had people say, "You know, I want to be in ministry. I want to volunteer more at the church. I want to go help out at the soup kitchen, but I've got a one-year-old and a three-year-old, and I can't do those things," as if it's an either or. Or I'm taking care of my aging mother who has Alzheimer's and I just don't have time for anything else. I'll do ministry later. Responding to the call of Christ by, yes, but. But what if we were able to see that season of life of raising small children or caring for an aging parent or working a job that's 80 hours a week as our ministry? When you're rocking that baby at 2 o'clock in the morning, you are offering unconditional love. You are creating a household where a child can grow up and be a disciple of Jesus. You're making disciples. When you sit by the bedside of your mother who no longer remembers who you are embodying the unconditional love of God that expects nothing in return. When you go to work every day, following Jesus first, it changes how you treat people. It changes your perspective on the work that you do. I think Jesus is reminding us that there is no part of our life that cannot come under the umbrella of Christ, that cannot be seen through the lens of Christ. Even this week, as we receive the news of the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe versus Wade, I've been reflecting on my own feelings about that, which I have, and I'll share those in my Monday meditation tomorrow, as well as the United Methodist Church and where we stand as a denomination. But I felt this text asking me the question and reminding me that where I stand on this particular question needs to be guided by my faith in Christ, looked at through the lens of Jesus' compassion and healing ministry and love and care for the poor. Not from a political party, not from anybody else's agenda, not from any other leader or voice, but Christ and Christ alone. And that's hard to do, hard to discern, and that's part of the work of discipleship. So the story starts off with Jesus saying, "Follow me." And we all want to say yes. But even in these few verses, he reminds us that there will be rejection. There will be those who do not support who you are or what you're doing. There will be rejection. There will be a lot of discomfort. And the journey will never be over. You'll never arrive. And there will be things that are trying to take precedence, that are crying for our attention and our allegiance. That's a lot of challenge. There are many obstacles to following Jesus. But he invites us this morning to follow, to take the next step, and to trust in his promises that in him our burdens are made light. In him there is abundant life. In him there is freedom that nothing else on this earth can offer us. So what do you say? You want to take this trip together? We don't need to pack any bags. We just take the next step. Let's go. Amen.
Would you stand with me as you are able in the affirmation of welcome? Everyone is welcome at West End. We gather as the people of God with a wide range of religious background, educational level, political and theological perspective. We welcome and celebrate that God's gift has given to everyone.
Every age.
Every race.
Every gender identity.
Every sexual orientation. Every ethnicity.
And every mental and physical ability.
We believe God loves everyone unconditionally. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you are here with us in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew rack in front of you that you can place in the offering tray when they pass. Our deepest sympathies are extended to the family of Ruby Youngblood Fullwinkle, passing away Thursday, June 23rd. At this time, publication of memorial services plans have not been made. The God be with you. Let us pray. Most loving and gracious God, we come thanking you for your loving kindness and your most tender mercies. While we worship here this morning, there are people who are uncertain, fearful of anxiety about their human rights. So God, we ask that you give them comfort, peace, and understanding. While we worship here this morning, there are communities grieving the loss of loved ones from the earthquake of Afghanistan. Lord, we ask for comfort in their grief. God of love, on the days where this work of justice and reconciliation feels like too much, help lighten our load, soften our hearts to welcome people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, gender expressions, and all of the bodies in which they encompass. Teach us to learn and relearn. We praise you, God, for all of your glory, for hearing our prayers, strengthen us, build us up. In the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us praying, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Give us this day. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offering, we realize that everyone has a different financial situation, so that we may continue our vital ministry in the community and throughout the world. We invite you to give as you are able. For those of us worshiping online, we welcome you to give, and list on the screen or chat. Let us offer our gifts of tithes and our offering in our hearts of God, who loves us unconditionally.
Jesus. The Spirit of Christ has been with us in this time of worship and is also out on the street and out in the world going ahead of us to lead the way. May we go to be imitators of Christ in our love, in our sharing, in our grace. Amen.